time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon, and this is In the Conversation, the podcast. Yes, yes, we back. Muhammad is out. He will be back soon, but in the meantime and in between time, we got our arts and leisure correspondent in the building. Y'all already know him from the Mundane Festival. Give it up, Chris Lamberth. Chris, what's thanks good?
Hey, man. Thanks for having me, man. Always a pleasure to join you. Mm-hmm. Even if I'm in this lo-fi setting, I'm happy to be here.
It's all good. It's all good. The fire is cool. The fire is cool. It's not low. It's decent fire. You know what I mean? But I'm glad that you are here. You know what I mean? And we're going to chop it up, you know, and see what's what. How you been, man? How was your week?
Man, the week was pretty good, man. I had some time off from work. I had some had a staycation. I actually got to go to Cuts and Slices, which was fun. It was worth the trip. I enjoyed it. I've been trying to go for quite some time, and happy that I made it happen. Supporting a black-owned business, you know?
There you go. There you go. That's what's up. That's what's up. What did you get?
I got the sweet chili oxtail and the curry oxtail.
Okay.
And cool. I think I like the sweet chili better.
You know, surprising with that sweet chili oxtail. I didn't think I was going to like it. I got the regular, what's the brown stew oxtail. I guess that's the traditional. And I got the sweet chili. I wanted to get the curry, but it was sold out. But that sweet chili, like, you know, oxtail on pizza is already unconventional. So now we going sweet chili oxtail. It's like, all right, now we getting a little crazy. But the shit paid off, and I enjoyed it. So shout out to Cuts and Slices. That's good. That's good. And you went to the Brooklyn location because, you know, they opened the Queens spot, too.
Right. I went to the one in Bed-Stuy. Okay. It was good. It's very avant-garde pizza, I would say.
Avant-garde pizza. There you go. All right, back. That's what it is. Oxtail on pizza. It's a lot of oxtail. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm like, I support Cuts and Slices because they're innovators. They've been doing it for a little bit. You know what I mean? They were first through the door on this, you know, this oxtail, is it reappropriation? I don't know, but I'm starting to feel like oxtail is starting to turn into the flaming hot. Nah, it's like the flaming hot powder of like right now. You remember there's times when it's like there was flaming hot everything. You know what I'm saying? It was flaming hot all over the place. Before that, if we go way back in the like ingredient on everything, shit, there was blue raspberry everything. There's pumpkin spice everything. It's starting to be a lot of oxtail everywhere, and it's odd to me. You know, it's just, I don't know how I feel all the way about it. I feel like they kind of, maybe I'm too conservative. Maybe I'm an oxtail conservative. I might identify as an oxtail conservative. I appreciate it just in its natural state. And if I want to get a little wild, throw it on the pizza. But some of this other oxtail shit that I'm seeing is just a little, it's going the bridge too far. I can't.
What else are you seeing?
I can't reference it in the moment, but it made me feel like, yo, what the fuck is going on? Why is oxtail on everything? I want to say, was it oxtail on some,
like a patty?
Oh, I think I seen the, I mean, I definitely seen the oxtail patty. Seen that. I'm sure you seen it. I think the place is called Dats. And it's like, you know, it's the beef patty. They bust it open. It's almost like they, you know, they on the Aki way. You know what I mean? But they bust the shit open, and then they put some oxtail on there. And then they put the, they put some macaroni and cheese. And then I think they put a little bit of oxtail gravy, and then they put the shit, put the patty back on. It looked interesting. I'm not going to lie. Some of this shit does look interesting, but, you know, I've seen oxtail put on other shit that I just can't remember right now. I've even seen, and I said it to you, but I've seen a white woman prepare oxtail for her dog. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you sent that joint. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Come on now, what's going on? Like, I'm not, look, if they live it like that, this is a whole other thing. I've been seeing a lot of, like, dog food has been super elevated now. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, dog food ain't what it used to be. It's not just kibbles and bits no more. It's like real shit. It's like Blue Apron. These dogs are eating very well. Dogs are eating good as shit. Like, I'm seeing them taking
better than me.
Yes. And that's what motherfuckers don't want to say, but they are saying it in these comments because it's the truth. You know what I mean? These dogs are eating quite well. They're getting their food out of the fucking refrigerator now. Their food is refrigerated, and cats too. I've been seeing that too. Like these, you know, I'm not going to hate on nobody's pet, you know, but I have seen some different shit going on. And I seen this person put her little, she had like a little tiny little Dutch oven that fit just one oxtail bone, like one little oxtail.
Yeah.
And she braised it with some chicken stock or whatever and some carrots and I don't know, some potatoes, but the shit was quite hearty, some cauliflower and some rice. And the dog had the nerve. The dog fucked it up, but the dog didn't look happy enough. The dog looked like it was just a regular, like it was Wednesday's meal. Like, that dog seemed too normalized to eating this type of... It's not even dog food no more. This shit is cuisine. This dog eats cuisine. That's not dog food. Dog food has a bit of a stigma attached to it. If you're not a dog, you would be offended. But now, these dogs don't even fuck with dog food no more. Leave that for the heroin addicts. But that is what it is, man. So, yeah, so you had your oxtail. Finally got to Cuts and Slices. Shout out to Cuts and Slices. That's good.
I pulled up, beloved, as they say.
There it is. That's what it is. Speaking of, so you said you had a staycation? A little staycation?
Yeah, I had a few days off from the day job and just like kind of chilled and watched some movies. And yeah, it was good. Yeah. I recommend a staycation for everybody.
What you do? Would you say some movies? Were you left the house and watch movies, or you were in the house watching movies?
Oh, I left. I saw The Equalizer 3.
Okay.
Or as I call it, the Threequalizer.
Nice.
The joint with I saw Bottoms, the movie with
Io
and Rachel. That was good. It was almost like I've seen it before, but at the same time, I've never seen anything like it before. As far as a comedy that's taken like really big swings and I really did. I enjoyed it. Like part of me, like while I was watching, I was like, "What am I watching? Mm. I can't believe." You know, it's like, "What is this? Like, what's the end game?" It was fun. It was fun.
That's good to hear that, you know, some big swing comedy, because it's always, you know, like. I think when you see that, when somebody pushes some shit to the limit, it's like, it's refreshing. It kind of resets the game a little bit too. Now, would you say, because it seems like it's a all woman cast, right?
Pretty much. I mean, Marshawn Lynch is like, I saw a critic.
Don't spoil it. Go ahead.
Well, he's in the previews.
Oh, okay.
Marshawn Lynch was in it, and a critic was comparing his character to Tina Fey's character in Mean Girls. Oh, and wow. I see where they're going with that. Like the only one of the, like the adult presence in the movie, but it's like Bottoms was kind of grounded in reality, but not. Okay. It was way more absurd than Mean Girls.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say both I liked them both, but Bottoms is just way more out there than Mean Girls was.
Is it out there, like, because I think out there, I was gonna say, where is it not rank, but where does it sit alongside something like Bridesmaids?
Bridesmaids is another joint that's kind of it's got these wacky and silly moments, but that one too is grounded in reality. As funny and as wacky as it is, there's still it's still anchored by that story of the what's her name? Oh my God, that's so bad of me.
That's really not.
No, I can't think.
It is what it is.
What's Shorty's name?
I have no clue. Who you talking about? Rachel? Somebody?
I'm thinking of the lead in Bridesmaids. Wow. Oh. I'm looking it up. But that's bad that I.
That's all right, man. You'll get
Kristen Wiig.
There you go.
Kristen Wiig.
Yeah. Shout out to Kristen Wiig. Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to her. Yeah. Shout out to her and her family.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good movie. I rock with it. It's like the joint with Katniss Everdeen, Jennifer Lawrence, No Hard Feelings. Like that's one that.
Okay.
That's funny. I see them low key coming back with these comedies that are a little raunchy and trying to push boundaries again, which is refreshing to see because it's almost like people have just kind of backed off of doing them.
Right.
And it's like, you know, it's just like you can't say these things anymore. Some things you can't, but that's why they get paid the big bucks. It's like it's skill. You know, that's why folks are on strike, you know, like there's a skill attached to what we do. You know what I'm saying? What we write, how we perform it, the way, you know, what we do. Not your everyday person can't do that. So that's why it takes skill.
Yeah, I hear that. That's what's up. Yeah. And I heard the Equalizer Part 3 was good. I heard it. Without spoiling it, but I heard that because I haven't seen it yet. I'm trying to go see both of those things. But I heard that the Equalizer 3 is like a friend of mine was saying they kind of almost kind of getting their John Wick on as far as the level of gruesome violence. What you think?
It's definitely video. I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Like my favorite genre of this type of movie, action movie, is old dudes. Mm-hmm. Kicking people's ass.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it kind of, you know, it kind of took hold for me with this film called Harry Brown that starred Michael Caine.
Mm.
And that was like, what was that, 2009 it came out. And he's like a widowed former Royal Marine is in this town and he's like, they're terrorizing his neighborhood in South London and he takes matters into his own hands. Mm. So it's like one of those. And like Denzel, like he's like 66 and he's just like, you know, like nobody likes a bully. He's in this town in Italy and you know, I really liked it. I was locked in the whole time. Like you don't have to see it in IMAX, but if you could see it in Dolby, it's good. Mm. I would say I'm a big Dolby.
Why is that? Is it just because it was, what's the reason for Dolby in your mind?
The sound, the picture, the seats.
So the picture is different. The picture is different in Dolby. Okay. Yeah. I thought it was just the sound. Okay.
Yeah.
It's
good. Yeah.
Got it. Yeah.
So it's fun.
Okay. That's what it is. That's a good genre. Harry Brown. I'm gonna check that out. I'm like, I never seen that before. Sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's one of the things I miss from like I'm gonna get very, what is it? Oh, Andy, is it Andy Rooney?
Who used to be on 60 Minutes? A little curmudgeonly. Go ahead, speak to it.
Yeah. This is one of the things I miss about Blockbuster, the brick and mortar stores. Us not having them anymore. And it happened around this time where, you know, like you could go in the store and you had a guy like, oh, I know you rented this movie the last time, you might be into this. And you have a conversation like, oh, I saw that. Or you like this actress. She did this little art house thing a couple years ago. You might be in. And it's quite a few DVDs that I have from Blockbuster because of my guy that hooked me up, that put me on the stuff. So.
It's a gene pick.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember that?
So it's a gene pick. What's that from?
That's a Seinfeld reference. But go ahead.
Oh, okay. I watched. I'm sorry.
That's all good. You say,
but, go ahead. But it's, but yeah, I that's what I missed. But you find them other ways, talking to friends and online and stuff like that. But I still miss the personal interaction that you have with an actual human being.
You know, that's interesting because I want to bring that point up a little later when we talk about something else. But I think that the curator or the referral person, like you said, your guy or your girl, whomever's going to put you on, that I believe is still around, but it's in a different form. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, right. and yeah, we're going to get into that in a little bit. But
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, so Sunday, I went to get my car washed, which I paid way too much money to get my car washed. And it didn't look like they did that much. But I went to see this other movie, this art house movie in Montclair, and I had just struck up this conversation with this one woman at the movie theater. And we talked for like 20 minutes after the movie. And it's like, that's kind of rare. Like, it's just like, you know, it was good. And she put me on to some other movies that I added to my Letterboxd, app, and I just I'll check these out.
It's a good thing you had your car washed. You know what I mean? Sound like that was a little, you know what I mean? Little reaction.
She was 70.
She was 70? Hey, look.
Yeah.
Look, it still works. Still works. A shiny whip. Shit works to everybody.
She didn't see. Look, hey man, she didn't even see the whip. This was just in the theater, man.
Oh shit. You came in with that energy. Fresh car wash energy. But that's cool. Yeah. So how did y'all even get into this 20-minute conversation? Y'all walking up the aisle and somebody said something to the other? What happened?
So you know how sometimes, I don't know, like how people, I don't know how, if you have this in your life where you interact or connect with people if they do it with you. Or sometimes I try to just, if I see somebody, I'll just nod and say hello. She just happened to come in and she sat down in front of me in the row in front. And I just nodded my head saying, how you doing? Mm-hmm. And then it was maybe about six or seven of us in the theater. And after the movie was done, she got up and said, oh, so what'd you think? And she started going off. Like, not like in an angry way, but she was just very vocal and started talking. And so we started in the theater. Then we walked out. Then we walked outside in the front of the, we were in the lobby, then we just went outside. So we probably talked for like 20 minutes. Yeah, she's nice. She was a sweetheart.
What were her takes? Did she have good takes?
She did. Yeah, she was telling me stuff about what she thought about the end, like the last shot of the movie. She's like, there's this movie that I saw called Passages, which is a French film about this gay couple whose lives have been interrupted when they're married and one of the guys hooks up with a woman. And so it's like a love triangle, and just the way that one, the main character acted, who's kind of a, not to really give anything, he was just kind of a douche. And at the end, he was not a very good person, but at the end of the movie, there was this shot that she said, oh, and I think this, and this about this shot, and this happened. And I was like, yeah, I think you're right. Like, you know, just coming to her own conclusions. Like, I was like, yeah, you're right about that. And she's like, yeah, I liked him in this other movie. You ought to check this one out. And I pulled out my phone. I was like, oh, okay, shoot, let's do it, you know. And then, so that was a nice, pleasant interaction in the outside, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like those. I always try to leave myself open for interactions like that.
A brush with humanity.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
It's good. It's good when you realize you're not alone out here, you know?
Because it's so cold, dude. The world is just so fucking cold. And then after, you know, COVID's one thing, but it's just really shitty out there. I mean, we try to do our due diligence to make those people laugh and to forget about some of the bullshit, but it could be really fucked up out there.
Yeah, because even that's a one-way conversation, you know.
It is.
You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah. I mean, we could say we do it our part, but it's still like a monologue than a dialogue. But I feel you.
I think it's a noble task. It's a noble thing that we've done. Not to trust we are the elite of the world, but it's just like, it's just
No, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, yeah, as far as service goes, if you want to look at it like that. But
yes,
I'm talking
it
about
is a, yeah.
I'm talking about engagement and having a conversation, like you said, with you. Sure. And what's homegirl's name? What was her name? You remember?
Oh God, I'd have to look it up.
Geraldine.
No, she's a nice Jewish lady.
Well, okay, all right, that's what it is. That's what's up. You got a number? Yeah.
No, she friended me on Facebook, and she said she wanted to come to a show sometime.
All right, that's what it is. That's good.
Yeah.
So that's what's up. Yeah, man, it's good when you have a real conversation with people, because, you know, like I said, we living in the, you know, the screen era. You know, it's
right.
This shit is real detached. It could be real, yes, detached, and you could realize, damn, I ain't really talked to nobody face to face in a week. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like working from home and all of this other shit. Like just to have, yeah, that moment, especially somebody that's just random as fuck. You know, it's,
yeah,
kind of cool.
Right.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
Her name's Bonnie. Shout out to Bonnie.
Shout out to Bonnie. There you go.
Yeah.
Now that's what it is. On that point, I had a moment where I had to go speak to some people myself. You know, as many of the listeners know, I've been on a journey. Everybody's on a journey, whether it's a natural hair journey or skincare journey or self.
Yeah.
I've been on a journey to learn how to make curry chicken. You know, everyone knows
that's
it.
Right.
And the shit is kind of high. Something's going left. So, you know, I've asked people, I've exhausted many YouTube videos, and for whatever reason, shit don't really seem to really click like I wanted it to. And there's this spot out in the Bronx that I've been fucking with, going to get curry chicken from. And I've been going,
right,
there every so often. And the curry chicken is solid. It's consistent. And I was like, yo, I want to learn how to make this shit. What is going on? Because I don't know. It's like an obsession. I got to figure this shit out. I got to crack this code. This is some shit that's like really, I'm really like it has to happen. Because I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like when I hear people say what the deal is, or I'm watching these little things, it's like everything, it seems like I'm doing everything. So I was like, I said, yo, next time I go to this spot, I'm about to talk to the chef at the spot, you know, which already feels like, first off, it's an odd request, and it might even be, you know what I mean? It might be a little intrusive, a little step too far. It's like asking Colonel Sanders for the 11 herbs and spices. You know what,
right,
I'm saying? But I said, fuck it, man. I'm going to just have to put myself out there. You know what I mean? It's going to get weird. If they say no, let it be no. But I want to see what's what, you know? Low-key felt like a bit of an interloper, you know what I'm saying? But I was like, man, fuck it. There was also the desire to make some content out of it. Ultimately, ideally, that would have been dope too. But everything don't need to be content, even though I think it would have been some dope content. But I go to the spot, and I pull up. I'm going to get me some chicken, some curry chicken. And I say to the lady, I say, yo, who cooks the curry chicken here? And she was like, the chef. You know what I mean? I said, who cooks this curry chicken? She was like, well, what's up? I was like, yo, I've been trying to figure out how to cook curry chicken for a while now. It's been a couple years and I'm trying and I'm failing. Something's going on. Something is not getting there. And she's like, really? I said, yeah, I don't know. I mean, who cooks here? They was like, oh, the chef, but he's not here today, whatever, whatever. I was like, damn, do you think somebody could kind of show me or talk to me, you know what I mean, help me with this? I'd even be willing to pay, you know what I'm saying? Like, she kind of like laughed a little bit. She was like, well, he's not here today. The guy's Mr. White, Trevor White. That's my man's name. Shout out to Trevor White. You know what I'm saying? And he was like, he'll be here tomorrow between 12 and 3. If you want to come back through. I said, all right, bet. I forgot to get my homegirl's name. But later on, I realized her name was on the receipt. But anyway, I forgot to get her name. So I came back next day, like around 12:30, thirsty. You know what I mean? And at first I was like, fuck, you know, like, oh shit, it's going, this might be the lunch rush. I hope shit ain't too crazy. And then, you know what I mean? Might not be able to holler at me, but unfortunately it wasn't. It was chill. I went in there, two new women there, not my connect. So now I gotta re-ask. I gotta ask home girl. I'm like, hey, listen, how you doing? Is the chef here? Is Mr. White here? She was like, who are you and where are you from? Damn, yeah, cold. Like you said, it's cold. Yeah, nigga. Yeah, summer's over. I was like, yeah. I was like, yo, I'm Damien, and I'm from right in front of you. She laughed a little bit. We broke the ice a little bit. I told her, you know what I'm saying? I said, look, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I told them I'm looking to learn how to make curry chicken. And she said, yo, come back tomorrow. The chef Trevor might, you know, chop it up with me or whatever. And she looking at me like, what, nigga? Like, kind of in her face, but not audibly, but the face is. And she say, yeah, tell her. Tell her. Points to another girl. And, like, I got to go tell this other woman. But they both standing there. So it's almost like, tell her so I can see her react to the same shit that I'm looking like. So I go over there. I said, look, I know this is an odd request, but I came here yesterday. I'm trying to learn how to make curry chicken. Da 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 da. I like the chicken here. It's good. You know, something is. I guess I'm missing something at some point. And they told me I could come through and speak to Trevor, and he might be open to, you know, chopping it up with me. She was like, "All right, hold on." So she go in the back, and she in the back for a couple minutes or whatever. And that, you know, it's deliberation time. You know what I mean? I'm really feeling like the outsider. And then she come back out. She was like, all right, he'll be out in a couple minutes. I said, all right, back. So, mind you, I'm all double parked, too. That's even more drama to the whole shit. I'm double parked. But I feel like it's one of them blocks where, like, they respect the double park. You know what I mean? Like, they might even give you, you know what I mean? Because it's, you know, it's an establishment.
I just wish I had the temerity
to ask do this, that. To double park or the
SAT word to do that. To double park.
Oh, yeah. Nah, sometimes you got to try it. Sometimes you got to try. I mean, you got to be willing to run to your car, though. And you got to stay on point. You know, the double park is, like, look.
Sorry to sidetrack you, but that's.
No. Come on. We all about tangents over here. We all about tangents, and we're going to get right back. I know where I'm at. The double park is, you know, yeah, it's one of them things. It's one of them things. I don't like to do it as much as I used to. But you kind of get a feel for where you could double park at. And you got to know your little, you know, your what's the word? You got to know your jog. You know what I mean? You got to trust in your, you know what I mean? Is it joggable? Can you get there before, you know what I'm saying? Before shit get nasty. And you always got to be peeking out. You always got to be peeping and, you know. So anyway, boom. I'm chilling double parks. So there's a little bit of, you know, there's a little drama to it all. Out comes Mr. White. He come through. There's a little bar in there. He sits down at the bar with me. Okay, it wasn't exactly what I wanted, but, you know, we sit down. He says, so tell me, how you making your curry chicken? And I start telling him my whole shit. Like, I'm going through the spiel. And then he kind of slows me down. Gives me some pointers and shit. I say, hey, listen, can I record you? So I take my phone out. I'm just audio recording him because I need to. Yeah. You know what I mean? And he dropping some gems. And then he hit me with, he said, yo, pretty much everything is about the same. But he was like, you know, you need some Maggie all-purpose seasoning. Now, I got some Grace all-purpose seasoning, but I don't even think I've used it with my with my curry chicken. I don't know where I've been using that with. I think I was using that with something else. But he was like, you get some Maggie all-purpose seasoning. He said, I think that could be the, you know, and he went through everything. And it's like my biggest things was, am I burning the curry too long? Am I burning too much curry? What type of curry? Does it matter? All of this other shit. And he breaking the shit down. And we kind of aligned on pretty much everything except the all-purpose seasoning. He's like, yo, I think if you try that, it might change things. I say, all right, my dude, I appreciate you. Because he sat there with me for about 10 minutes. You know, I asked all types of questions and shit like that. I got the, you know, I got the recording and all of that. And then I jetted. I went right across the street, caught me some Maggie all-purpose seasoning. And then I was hype. I was ready to get to it. And I went home. I went home, and that weekend I went and made some curry chicken. And I will say this. I will say this. It's the closest it has ever been. It's not all the way there yet. Not all the way there. I got to figure out what the fuck it is. And I ain't going to lie. I might double back and holla at Trevor one more time. I know that nigga going to be like, come on, bro. What the fuck is going on? But I might have to double back. But it's something. It's something. So we there. But yeah, that was another brush with humanity. Sometimes you got to.
That's what's up, man. You know what I mean? Man. You know. It's a beautiful thing when you can like just connect with people where, you know, everybody's got their life, everybody's got their shit, but like when you kind of just like connect with somebody that you didn't, when you woke up that morning, you didn't think you was gonna have that conversation.
Yeah, no.
You know what I'm saying? That's the things that I miss sometimes about life.
Oh, yeah, man. That's here for you. They out there. These people are out there. People are outside. You know what I mean?
They are.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. They're around. They're around. You could have a good conversation.
Yeah, and to your point, man, you know, I gotta give praise to the parking gods whenever I can. I did it on one podcast. I'm going to do it on this one. When I went to Cuts and Slices, parking gods were in my favor.
Mm.
I was a little nervous about that, but it was early. It was like noon.
Mm-hmm.
Noon on a Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a show Friday night at Union Hall, parking right in front of the venue.
Nice.
I've never experienced that in my life. Wow. In line at Cuts and Slices, talked to some guys in line. They were from Con Ed on the lunch break, talking, shooting the shit. It was fun. It was good. It was good to be out with the people, man.
That's good. Who cuts the slices? I said before, that's a black ass line. That's a black line. A black line is a lot more sociable than other lines. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, black lines, we're gonna chop it up. We're gonna have some laughs. We're gonna engage more often than not. More often than not. It get a little loose, especially when it's a long ass line, because that's what's gonna break the tension. Everybody gonna kind of declare how long the line is and shit and da 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 da, and then they, you know.
Yeah,
you get into it, but yeah, man, yeah.
Because one of those dudes told me about the Datses, he said he ate there and he had one of those things and he said it was really good, but he said it was intense. It's a lot.
It look, you know, low key, you know, because that's the reality of the situation. If we being honest with you, we could throw chopped cheese in that mix and all of that shit.
Yeah,
you gotta be careful with all this shit will kill you. You know what I'm saying? This shit will kill you. Like, if you OD, if this is what you sustaining on, you know, break it up a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Throw some veggies in the mix. Yeah, I don't, like, that was like an excursion that I don't really do it that much. I know I talk about, like, fat boy shit on my podcast sometimes, but that's, like, once a week.
Yeah.
Everything else is, like, a lot of times I'm making stuff at home.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, every now and then you got to try stuff and you follow it. You can only follow something on Instagram for so long before you actually have to try these places.
To the algorithm, wear your ass down.
Exactly.
You gotta submit. You gotta submit.
Basically.
No, I'm gonna check out that Datses at some point. I ain't gonna lie to you. Only thing that's he holding me back, to be totally honest with you, is the fact that line looks crazy, but it does look intriguing.
I can't. Yeah, man. I just can't do it. There's this burger place I was telling you about that was started as a pop-up and now they have a home, but they're only in that place for 3 days a week, like Friday, Saturday, Sunday. When they first, before they established the home, the lines were long and I never went. I was in line for like 25 minutes or so. And I said, I'm just going to go to Shake Shack, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I ended up checking it out a couple times and it's solid.
Oh, so you did go.
Yeah, this place called 8020 Smash in Emerson, New Jersey. They're on Instagram. It's pretty solid. They make you a smash burger. It's good.
That's what it is. That's what's up.
Yeah. Try to support these local people, man.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Support. Speaking of supporting some local people, they ain't local, but it feels very local when I watch the show. I'm finally caught up on The Chi.
And
I know you watch The Chi. You know, a lot of people want us to talk about this. Muhammad does not watch The Chi, so this is a good time to really chop it up about this season. What is it, season six of The Shy?
It's season six, yeah.
Season six of The Shy. So funny, I've talked to a couple people, and at least three people, when I tell them, yeah, I'm watching The Shy, you know, season six, they're like, that shit still on? Like, it's a lot of that response, which is odd to me. I'm like, yeah, it's still on. It's doing its thing. I enjoy it. I'm having fun with it. I do think it has changed into a, it's morphed into a totally different type of show than it was before, which I'm not mad at. I appreciate it. I feel like I've grown with the show. I'm investing in these characters. And, you know, this season has been pretty good so far. I think this is, whereas last season, I felt like last season might have been the Emmett season. I think this season is the Duda season, you know?
Yeah, Duda is, I mean, not since maybe Gus Fring have we witnessed a bad guy like this. He is a definitely a big bad that his influence is just embedded in the DNA of that of the whole city, or at least the South Side.
Even West Side,
basically, because he's got property out there. So I'm gonna just say, frankly, all the whole city.
Go ahead. Finish your thought. Go ahead.
I was gonna say somebody's got to take him down, and I think he will go down this season. It's probably gonna be, if it's not Emmett, it's probably gonna be his dad, Darnell, who's played by Rolando Boyce.
Yeah, I think Duda is like Chi-Town social service. Like, is everybody fucking is employed by this dude. Everybody is on payroll in some capacity, or at least connected to him. He got a big ass umbrella. This shit is reaching far and wide. And like you said, like, he a bad motherfucker. He's a he's a wild dude. I talked about it a couple episodes. He is he's like controlled chaos. He knows he knows when to kind of make a spectacle of of violence, you know what I'm saying? Just because he knows how that's going to affect the people, like he's good for to show you what he can do. But at the same time, what makes me laugh, especially in this last episode, he'll vacillate from crazed gunmen, you know, who will let that shit off for just chewing too loud, to just like mild-mannered, you know what I'm saying? Hey, what seems to be the problem here? Like at the chop shot when Tiffany and I keep calling my man. I mean, just Iman Shumpert. Yeah, just call him Shumpert.
Tiana Taylor's husband.
Exactly, okay. Dan. Don't do that. Shout out to you know what I mean. But you know, yeah, whatever his character is on there. But young Shump. But yeah, when they pulled up, he pops out. Hey, what seems to be the problem? Come on, Duda. Nigga, we know you a killer. Even, you know what I mean? Everybody in this room know what you do. You ain't got to play it like that. But it was kind of interesting. It's going to be good. What I like about The Shy, particularly, just in general, but I see it a lot in this season, and I'm curious. I'm curious what your thoughts are. What I like, because it's not the easiest thing for this show to have so many characters.
Yeah.
They distribute the ball well. Like, anybody get a nice little bit of playing time? You know what I'm saying? Storylines are fairly fleshed out, some to more degree than others. But I don't
that don't need it to be, but
yeah. Maybe. Yeah, there's that too, for sure. And I'm curious to who storylines you're talking about. We can get into that. But I got a question for you. It could be overall, it could just be this season. Who is your favorite Shy character, if you had to pick one?
Off the rip, is I would have to say Jason Weaver's character, Rashad. One, but mainly because it's Jason Weaver. Like, he's like low to me, like, he's low key one of the reasons that me and you talking right now, that me and you know each other, because he was one of the people that like inspired me to want to act and to want to be in show business. Because when I was in junior high, that Jackson's The American Dream came out. He was on Thea. He had an R&B album. So like that's like one of my favorite like people in general. So I thought that he kind of brought my favorite scene probably was the joint when him and it was last season with a young brother that's staying with Pops.
Bakari?
Bakari, when he was about to rob the rib spot, and Jason Weaver, he was like, yo, come on, man. You don't need to do this. And he was like real, you know, because he was an ex-con. And he was like, you don't need to do this. And he talked them down. I just thought that was a really dope scene. So I would say him. Mm-hmm. I say Rashad, but then I was talking about this on another show, on my show actually, when Darnell stood up to Duda, like maybe like two episodes ago, probably like 2 weeks ago, I think episode four, when they had the housewarming party, where he comes outside, he has the gun that Duda gave to Emmett, and he was like, you know, like, I'm not afraid. He's like, I'm basically just saying, I'm not afraid of you.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't care who you are. So I like that. And it wasn't like, it was just very like laid back, very measured. Like, I'm not like, I don't care who you are. Stay on, you know?
Yeah.
So I like those two are my favorites right now.
Okay. I hear that. That's interesting. Yeah, I like Jason Weaver. I like Jason Weaver on the show. I forgot he was in Thea. Yeah, that's right. Damn, that's way back.
Thea.
I think that, especially this season, this all of the stress. Well, it's interesting. I think his storyline is interesting in the way that he's playing like this real stressed out dude that feels like he's behind in life. Obviously he was away in jail in prison for a while. So obviously he was, you know, he was out of civilization. So he couldn't really, you know, he couldn't keep pace with the people that were out living free, you know, but there's this, it's almost like this self-imposed stress, but it seems to be kind of like he's taking it on as if his lady is stressing him out, but they don't really ever show any evidence of that outside of her saying, yo, smoke outside. You know what I mean? Like, it don't seem like she's really, you know what I mean? Like, the way he be
smoke outside.
Yeah. The way he be rubbing his head and all of this fucking stressed out shit. And what's killing me even more with that shit. What's my man? Let me see. What's my man's name? Vic, Luke James's character.
Yeah.
That's his man. Now, Vic just got fucking elected to alderman, has a full-on office.
Get him a job.
Get this nigga a job. That's your man. He here all the time. Yeah. He's beefing about how he ain't got no job. This is your man's. Why can't you just throw him a some type of assignment? Put him on payroll. That is killing me. It's been killing me for that the last couple episodes. I'm like, my man. Yeah. And it's not as though he's not open about it. He like, dog, I'm out here fucking drowning. I need some help. And his man is like, yeah, we'll do a little freelance therapy. We'll do a little, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We'll do that.
Give me a job, bro.
What the fuck is we doing? Are you out here hiring other motherfuckers? What are you doing? But, man. Yeah, he's good on the show. I'm going to go with, if we just doing this season, or just over, well, me doing this season or these past two seasons, I'm fucking with Duda. I'm fucking with Duda. Duda's my favorite character so far. He's dynamic. It's just a lot of shit. I mean, it makes it easy this season because everything is kind of circling him. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's just like, see this motherfucker on some wild out shit. And then to see him try to, you know, finesse the, you know, the game or whatever. Like, they really giving him the heavy playing time. So he's shining this season. I like Emmett. Emmett's funny. Emmett has some good points. Papa. I fuck with Papa. Papa used to be like the moral center of the show. You know what I'm saying? But I like these last couple episodes. Now that he messing with this older woman, a couple years, like a year or two older than him. But like, yeah, just the way that he feeling like he grown all of a sudden. Yeah, we about to leave the prom, and then, you know, I'm actually go to a house and we're gonna do some grown up shit. Like, fuck is Papa talking about?
Yeah, raise her kids.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's that. And the kid Bakari is kind of grown on me. You know what I mean? Because he's starting to flesh out. He's starting to get a nice little storyline to him. Yeah,
he's the conflict with him is going to be, it's going to be interesting, and I hope they don't kill
Papa's
daddy. Yeah.
Well, he got the green light on him. He got the green light on, and Papa's pops is like real, you know, he's not cowering, you know what I'm saying? He's preaching nothing but subliminals.
But that's how you know it's going to be, oh, shit.
It's going to be nasty. I thought it was going to be in this last one. It had me on edge because they were having so much joy, you know, when they taking the photos. And then there was the moment where it felt like it was the farewell tour for Papa's Pops when he was, you know what I mean? He was fathering Papa and Bakari, and they taking photos together and all of this other shit. I was like, oh, they about to pop him as soon as they get to the prom. And they saved him for at least another episode. We'll see what's what. But it's cool. Go ahead.
Do you think dude is gonna get taken out this season?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Is this the final season?
I don't know, man, because I thought last season was the final season.
Oh, you like them people in the streets. This shit's still
on. Yeah, but I watched, though. I was like, oh, y'all coming back? Let me see how y'all doing. Yeah. And they doing a good job with it, man.
It was good to see Jill Marie Jones in the building, too. That was dope. That was a good look. I also like Tiffany's character. I just like how she's going to get a nigga killed,
man.
She's off the chain. She wild.
She's talking too much shit.
She wild.
Man, but she's great.
But what was I gonna say? I wouldn't be surprised if he gets killed. I don't know if it's gonna be Emmett or his pops. I think
Rob might do it. Iman Shumpert might do it.
He might do it or Olin Winfield might do it. You know what I mean? That might come about, you know? Especially when she was talking to Bianca, Jill Marie Jones, she was like, yo, you know you still owe me a favor. And it's already understood. And Jill Marie kind of trying to give homie the heads up, like, yo, Alicia's out here asking questions. You know what I'm saying? So just be careful, Blasey Skip. And I didn't realize they on her property already. So she might know something about the property that even Duda don't know. So we'll see. It wouldn't be surprised. It would remind me of... It'll remind me like the end of New Jack City or the end of the Shaft reboot.
Dude, I was just thinking about that shit. New Jack City, old guy kills Nino.
One of those moments. We'll see. Well, it should be interesting. I hope Darnell don't get killed though.
I don't want him to get killed either, man. Yeah. He's one of those dudes that had an evolution on the show where he's like, oh, he's just kind of a piece of shit, doesn't care. But he's like, oh, he's actually trying to like change or trying to step up. He married his woman finally. And then, you know, he's looking after his son. And, you know, so it's like, it's usually in those moments when those characters get dealt with, they meet their demise. So I hope they go against the grain and not kill him.
Yeah, a little blood on the Bluetooth. Hopefully that don't happen. It's been good so far. I'm enjoying it. Let us know who your favorite Shy character is in the comments. Hit us up. Let us know who you fuck with, who's been holding it down. Speaking of Chicago, I know you don't watch White Power. You don't watch
it. It's not that I don't watch it. I just haven't seen this season yet. Are they two episodes in?
Nah, I think it's just one episode so far. I think it's just one episode. But I ain't going to get all the way into it. But what I did peep was, and I guess it's a Chicago thing, because I've seen Darnell, you know, on Southside. And I guess these are like a lot of local Chicago actors, because I saw, what's my homegirl's name, that plays D Miriam, what's her name? She plays D on the show. I'm looking her up right now. Yeah, Miriam Hyman. She's on White Power. She's playing like some type of DA. She's D on Sha. She's married to Kev's moms. Kevin, Keisha's mom. You know.
Stacey Marks. She plays Stacey Miriam Hyman. Okay.
Yeah. She plays some type of detective on Force, and she's in a dress, so it's like a total departure. You know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then also Nuck, the kid. What's his name? Cortez.
A lot of great actors.
Yeah. Yeah, he's on the show too, playing another like goon. You know what I'm saying? Basically the same role on both shows and shit. But
I've worked with some of them before. Some of them I know.
Oh, that's what's up.
If I don't know them, I know of them from my time back in Chicago. Mm. Anthony Fleming that plays, is that his brother? That plays Tommy's brother, like his half brother.
I don't know. It's the cat that kind of reminds you a little bit of Andre Royo.
Yeah, that guy.
Okay,
she plays J.P. Gibbs. I know him. I don't know. I'm not friendly with him, but I know of him.
Okay,
like he was around when I was around.
Okay, but yeah.
And the guy that plays that plays Papa's dad. I know of him too. Liliana, Audrey Esparza. I know a couple of them.
Right.
It's a lot of real dope actors in Chicago. So it's I'm glad to see them like working, you know.
Getting some shine out there. Yeah.
Yeah, like they should be.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah, nah. It's what you call it? Force episode one. It's all right. You know, it's all right. It's like so far. And I try to stick it out. I watch all of the little Power Universe. It's probably my least favorite of all of them. You know what I mean?
Same.
But, you know, they still trying to figure out shit with that little goofy drug, the Dahlia. Because I forgot all about that. That's the drug. When everybody take it, they just spaz out. They Mitch McConnell for a second. Like, they just, you know what I mean? They don't know what the fuck to do. Tommy, you know, starts off, Tommy wants revenge. He's going on a rampage, going crazy, violent, you know. I told you D from the Shies there. Nuck is in that shit. What I do like is it's a lot of drinking in White Power. It's a whole lot of drinking. Yeah. Everybody got a nice, real fancy decanter with some type of whiskey in it. Like, you know what I mean? It make me want a nice decanter. I got a decanter at the crib, but the thing about a decanter that I realize that a lot of people don't speak on is you fuck around and forget what whiskey you got in that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, yo, what am I sipping? Is this Uncle Nearest or is this Hudson? What is this shit? Because I want
which uncle. Let me ask you this now.
Yeah,
since you mentioned which Uncle Nearest is your go-to.
I only went to one Uncle Nearest so far. It was 46. I don't know which one it is. Again, it's in a decanter, so I can't even tell you. I can't even tell you which one it is. But I'm gonna be honest,
it's good.
With you. I wasn't impressed. You know what I mean?
Well,
yeah. Go ahead.
I had some for New Year's. Uh-huh. I was doing a show in Virginia. Oh my God! Sorry, somebody's drilling something. But anyway, I had they gave me a couple shots, and I was pretty nice.
Had you nice? That. Had you faded?
Not faded, but I was pretty nice there. I was like, "Whoa, this is strong."
Okay. Yeah. It's all right. It's all right. It's not my favorite whiskey. But it's cool. I definitely bought it to support the, you know what I mean?
Of course.
The cause or whatever. But yeah, it was all right. So.
Everybody's drinking on the show.
It's a lot of drink, a lot of whiskey glasses and toast and all of that shit.
I'm mad they killed my girl, Gloria. That's kind of what pissed me off about that.
Gloria was the one that worked at the bar?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of. Yeah, it was fucked up, but yeah, they got rid of her. And then they killed the black woman. And I don't want to spoil nothing else, but Claudia is cold-blooded, you know. Yeah, Claudia is very cold-blooded. You'll see when you watch it. I'm gonna be honest.
All right.
Go ahead.
No, I said, all right, I'm gonna get on it because I just saw after you had hit me about doing it today, I saw that I can get like 3 months for $3.
Oh yeah, they good for that. Stars will work with your budget. Stars is like, look, well, what you got? All right, come on, nigga. Go ahead. Go ahead, nigga. Turn it on.
You know you want this power.
Yeah, they
know
that's all you coming for. Yeah, cop and go. Come on now. So that's that. Before we get out of here, I guess we should talk about, we got a couple things. Well, I want to talk about this this article that came out over the weekend. Well, not over the weekend, but last week. I've been forwarding this shit to everybody like a mixtape. It's an article that came out. It's titled, the title is 50 Years Later, Is There Anything Left of Hip Hop? Which is a very, it's on the Defector, which is a very, a dramatic title for an article. It's written by a guy named Jason England, who I don't know anything about. I haven't really researched him. Beyond this, it's a lot of engagement. I haven't even looked at the comments on the shit, but I read the article. It's been well discussed. Obviously, I've been sending it out to certain people, and then friends of mine putting me on is like, it's definitely been discussed in the hip hop journalism community. You know, there's a lot of not a lot, but there's a couple prominent hip hop journalists that kind of feel as though it's a flimsy take or a little bit of a kind of a well-worn take, the whole hip hop is dead take or whatever. Like, that's at least what they pulled from it. And then there's other journalists that kind of feel like that cat is making some points. I thought, I'm on that side of, I felt like the cat was making some points, but I know we were talking prior to turning on the mics, and I know you kind of have a different take on it, so I'm curious as to what's your reaction to the article, and we'll discuss it a little bit.
I thought it was a little too dramatic, where it's like hip-hop is, I think there's still things left in hip-hop. I think it's thriving. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can listen to newer artists and get enjoyment out of it. I think we always talk about this every time we talk. Like, it's like, I went to see Sky Zoo do his From the Mind of a Saint album at Mercury Lounge. It was fucking amazing. It was great. I like the new Killer Mike album. I like one of my favorite MCs, Blue, had a project that got released last week. So I'm finding, like, amongst all the older stuff that I listen to, and I'm really liking what's going on now. I don't know everything about these young guys, but that music's not made for me. Mm-hmm. The stuff that's made for me is the stuff that I can go back and listen to on a playlist and have a good time. But I'm not going to shit on the whole genre just because they're not doing what I don't know, want them to do. And then just the fact that he was talking about Torre when he said, oh, he's from Massachusetts, what does he know about hip hop? Like, well, he has ears. So I don't know. And he just because you don't agree with his take, Torre had Bomani Jones and Michael Smith on the show where they disagreed. They kind of ganged up on him with some of the takes when it came to, you know, like, is Andre better than Jay-Z or whatever the conversation was. I just think it's easy to be very, to be pessimistic about it and to talk about, you know, what Ice Cube, I mean, we've talked about Ice Cube a little bit, what his take is on certain things and the stuff that he wrote when he was younger. Just the stuff he was talking about, Ice Cube, and I don't know if he mentioned Killer Mike, but just that they're not doing he's not going to be the same guy that he was at 50 than he was when he was in his early 20s. Right. So I think when you get older, you can become more conservative. And we just haven't seen that with hip hop because it's still relatively young. Hip hop's not even a senior citizen yet. Right. It's been with me since I was born. I like the point that that Bomani and Michael Smith made on Touré's podcast, where they said, like, when I was born, you know, it was here, it was just in my life. So it's, you may not have that monumental moment where were you when you first, like that Brown Sugar moment, like, Mm-hmm. Where were you when you first fell in love with hip hop?
Right.
You know, like I think, you know, for me, it was probably, I was maybe in junior high or maybe like 10 or 11 or 12. I don't know. But I just don't like the pessimism of that kind of permeated through the article. And then the critique Touré, there's things that Touré said that weren't about hip hop is one of the reasons I don't listen to him as much. I don't always agree with him, but if you have ears and he grew up, he's a part of the culture. He's participated in it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to agree with all of his takes, but why can't he talk about it? He can't talk about it because he's from suburban Mass. And just because you're from New York, you can talk about it. This guy's Jason England's educated too.
Yeah. I didn't, you know, it's so funny. I didn't even realize that's who he was talking about until you just said that. Like, it went over my head. Like, I seen that he was talking about somebody. Obviously, he ain't, you know, say the person's name. So it was a subliminal, which is, right. I guess, very hip hop in itself. But, Look, I wasn't mad at the article. This is my thing. I wasn't mad at the article because I think I've been saying it over the last few episodes as we were approaching this hip hop 50, right? Mm-hmm. I think there's been, you know, it's the commodification of hip hop, right?
Yeah.
And hip hop's 50 years old. And hip hop is, I think, still the leading music genre. I could be wrong, but for a while it was. I think it started around like 97, maybe it's turned the corner. But for a while, you know, it became the leading selling music genre. You know, and I remember back in the day when you used to have to listen, to Red Alert from like 8 to 10 on Friday and Saturday just to get your fix. Like, and that was it. Maybe they might play one song, but honestly, it was really from Friday to Saturday, 8 to 10 for 2 hours, Red Alert would spin and he would play all of the rap that you wanted to hear. You know what I'm saying? And I'd be at that bitch taping the shit and hoping he ain't talk too much over the song. And then, you know what I mean? Later on, I realized he would kind of play the same set for a month. So then I was like, oh, okay, bet. I ain't got to be so frantic. I ain't got to treat it like double parking. But I remember when it was the scarcity of the shit, when it was something that you had to seek and find. And it was electric because it was like a subculture for the most part. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Everybody wasn't up on rap. And the people that were up on rap, that was some shit like that was some shit that you like bonded on. Oh, you listen to rap? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Before even the hip hop of it all. You listen to rap? Oh shit, who you listen to? This is back when I used to joke, but you could damn near name every rapper in the game. Now it's different. It's a million motherfucking rappers. Everybody out here rapping, they selling fucking toothpaste and fucking board games and flights and, you know what I mean? Whatever there is to sell, they using hip hop to sell it. You go to fucking Whole Foods and they playing rap in the damn over the speakers and shit like that. So it's everywhere. And I think that's what he was saying more so, like it went from like outside of culture to it's been assimilated. You know what I mean?
But that's
and
everything.
Absolutely.
That's
well, hold on, let me finish
though.
My
that's
point.
America.
Yeah, that's the reality of capitalism. You know, to go from being on the outskirts to being the leading genre, of course it's going to come at a cost. And I think that's what he said. He said hip hop assimilated and that always comes at a cost. That's basically what he's saying. And he was pointing out the shit that is different. Like, and it was ill. One line that I thought was crazy because I felt it, but I didn't put it in the same words in that moment. But when I saw that little video of KRS-One freestyling in front of Eric Adams, it just felt a little cringy. You know what I'm saying? Just couple things.
Yeah.
And then he was like, you know, the writer of Black Cop freestyling to a black cop. I was like, ah, damn, that was kind of hard. I ain't gonna lie. I like that. I like Rich Dad, Poor Dad rap. There's a couple lines in there. I was like, okay. But I didn't feel as though he was saying that hip hop is dead. I ain't get that. He pointedly said that hip hop is dead narrative is pretty much played out. I forget exactly where he said it, but he said that, like, every, you know, a lot of people have been saying that shit. Like,
when did that Nas album come out? Was that 04, 05?
I don't know. We'd have to look it up. You can look it up while you.
I'll look it up.
But you know, I thought it was some valid critique of what's going on. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that, and I think that, I don't even want to say it was ill-timed. It's, I mean, it was at the moment where everybody else talking about hip-hop. Hip-hop's 50 years old. Like, everybody from fucking Chuck Schumer to Kathy Hochul, everybody got hip-hop on their tongue. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's like, let's take a moment and let's look at what is going on here. Not to say that this shit still ain't vital and it ain't something that should be celebrated or something that should be engaged with. I do feel like, back to what we was talking about with the, you talk about the bread, you know, the brick and mortar blockbusters, the gene picks. I do feel like, and I don't want to say this cat, but I do feel like, and I've been very much deliberate and diligent about this as I've aged, that I watch how I remark on rap music particularly. You know what I'm saying? I do realize, one, it's multi-generational now. So I sometimes often say it's not for me, but it ain't all for me. At one point, right, it felt like it was all for me. Now, it's segmented. There's stuff that's for young motherfuckers. There's stuff that's for, you know what I mean, people in their 20s. There's stuff that is maybe for me, but it is very much about, you know, staying on point, maybe having some people that you talk to about rap that could put you on the shit. Because I always felt like that was the beauty of rap ever since the beginning. People putting you on to some shit. You heard such and such? Nah, oh, nigga, let me put you on. That was like one of the best things ever. We'll put you on. Oh, yo, I got to put him on to this. Da-da-da-da-da. And it's like now, maybe it's not always a conversation. Maybe it's somebody that you follow. Maybe it's, you know, some. I mean, if you want to deal with playlisting, it's that. Or maybe it's your, you know, you got a friend that's a DJ. Like, you have to kind of make an effort, you know? It's funny as expansive as rap has gotten in its 50 years, I do feel like you have to make more of an effort to wade through it, to find what you appreciate about it, to mine right through, filter through that shit. It's still good shit out there. I'll never argue against that. But yeah, you might have to make the effort to discover the new fly shit that you fuck with, or the new shit that, you know, like, it's all types of shit. I was listening to, I just had a conversation with my peoples in the group chat, and, you know, we was talking about Sauce Walker, you know what I'm saying, who's somebody's cat out of Texas, who I've been hearing his name, but I hadn't really gotten to him, and then I heard him on the Rap Radar podcast, and I know he does shit with Griselda, so a homie of mine, he was saying, niggas ain't put, y'all ain't tell me about this. And he started sharing shit. And then on the other spectrum of that, you know, one of my homies put me on to Babyface Ray out of Detroit. So I was listening to that. And then, you know, even like a conversation about this kid, Lil Tyler. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's rappers all over. And it's, you know, just pick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like a fucking, you know, it's like one of them little, you know, what do they call them shits? The cold bar, the hot bar at Wegmans and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, go get you some lemon pepper, to go get you a little bit of mozzarella sticks, and then maybe go over here and grab you some of that shit. It's just like, go see what's what. And the beauty is, you know, you don't even got to pay much to invest in this shit now. And I think that's right, also a thing that's kind of affected it, because I don't know if people sit with shit as much as they once used to, because the cost of admission is a lot lower. But at the same time, you have way more access to damn near everything that's out there. So it's not that it's scarce anymore. It's just that you got to really go out there and find that shit. But I wasn't mad at, you know, I wasn't mad at the bit of the analogy or whatever, the midlife crisis or whatever. It's 50 years old. You know, it's not the hot new genre. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
it's what it is.
I think I look at it the same way as you, as far as like, it's not all for me. It's young man's game. The stuff, somebody young makes something and I like it, I'm going to listen to it. It's not, I just, my goal is to never be the old guy that's like, oh, they don't make it like they used to. And that's just to stick in that realm, because there's stuff that I add to my playlist all the time with new guys and stuff like that. But my thing is, it's just, it's easy to, I mean, cause shit, it's America. Rock and roll used to be, oh my God, I can't believe, you know, that used to be a thing. And they use that to sell chicken or toothpaste or whatever it may be. So it's just kind of, we're going through some of the same growing pains that other genres are going through, but that doesn't mean that, you know, that it's not, it's just, I don't, I just didn't like the tone. I just got a visceral feeling from it. Just like, it's like, all right, buddy, you know, just like he posted a link to the, this is the Math Hoffa, the guy that was there fighting about Tupac and all that stuff. I think that was a bit much, because Torre wasn't there. I don't know. It's just it was a lot. And if the people aren't making the music that you like, then you don't have to listen to it. And I think it's always great to examine where we are as a culture and where hip hop is, but I mean, I didn't, it's, I don't know. I just didn't like how I felt when I read it.
Interesting. Hey, I guess we you know, we agree to disagree. I don't think that, like, again, I don't think he was dismissing the music. I think he was just critiquing, you know, some of the coverage and how things have changed a bit.
Well, I mean, I think that's what happens when people get, oh, like KRS-One rapping. Like, I think, I would like to think KRS-One was aware of that. You know what I mean? That he was doing that. But people change. That song was, how old was he when he wrote that? Yeah. What happened in his life to make him change? The guy that's making this, man. I was like, get the fuck out. But, you know, that's, you know.
That's how I read to you. That's how, because that's, oh, okay. Look at, so that's the guys in there,
this song, they made it. It's like, all right, buddy.
I don't know. I think it's interesting. It's something to talk about. You know what I mean? It is. It's. I don't know. I guess I get into the critique of it all. I'm not mad at it. I also think that, I don't even say hip hop is for the youth. I say that it's multi generational. There's shit. Like I said, there's stuff for everybody. You know what I mean? Like, this stuff for me and you. You know what I mean? Oh, there's a lot of young shit out there for sure. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, it's still like a great look. It's a young person's game, I guess, you know, but if we've obviously gotten to the space to where, you know, it is actually fathomable to have a 20 plus year career and still be relevant, which is a big thing. You know, that's something to celebrate in itself. And, like, I feel like anything that's going to generate some money here in America, it's going to get commodified, you know, because if you eat and we eat, you know what I mean? That's just the law of the land. Capitalism is damn near religion here in America. So
exactly. And I think that is. I think you're absolutely right. I was going to bring up this kid that I saw. I've seen interviews and just kind of been on the periphery of what he's doing. And then one of my buddies sent me a link to this cat named LaRussell.
Oh, yeah, doing the shows in his backyard.
Yeah, I'm like, this guy's fucking good. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, if it's, you know, if I'm exposed to it and you can rap, it's like, fine. You're good, dude. I don't know. I just still think there's hope. It was just maybe evocative of so many things. And I wasn't triggered like I was angry, but I did look at that. I did read that. And was like, you're just kind of attacking another intellectual with your subliminal, and you're kind of doing the same thing that he's doing, but he might be doing it at possibly a higher level or a level that you want to be at. We all fall victim to that. I'm not gonna act like I don't think of things. It's off my conversations that you and I have, and you're like, well, Chris, I think this, and I'm like, Yeah, you're right, Lemon. Yeah, I think you're right. All right. You know, that's all. I didn't think that part was fair.
All right. Well, there you go. Any allusions to off-mic hating will not be acknowledged on my part. But yeah, I'm talking about me.
Yeah,
all good. I'm like, all right. But man, it is what it is. Y'all check it out. Check it out. Let us know what you thought about it. I think the fact that it's a, you know, it's cause for debate is, that shit is, it's impacting. So that's what's up. I send it to a few people, and I'm always curious to see how people felt about it. Shout out to my homie, Nikki P. That's the person that sent it to me. And, okay. I think, I think it's time to get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean?
All right. Sounds good.
Chris, tell the people where you're going to be at, as a matter of fact. You got any places?
Tomorrow, I will be at...
Today or tomorrow?
Well, this podcast comes out on Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Thursday, the 7th, I'll be at Just Jake's doing the Non-Productive Comedy Show. That's in Montclair. So if you live near Montclair, New Jersey, come on out. That'll be a fun show. It's always a good show. Good food there, too. Good chicken tenders. So I'm there. And then I'll be at Friends and Lovers on the 13th at 8 o'clock p.m. And fast forward to next month, I'll be at the Boca Black Box in Boca Raton, Florida, doing some shows, headlining some shows, opening for Tim Meadows, SNL's Tim Meadows.
Ladies man.
I'm opening for the ladies man next month, October 20th October 21st. I'll be there.
All right. Bet. I'll be at Stand Up New York on this Saturday. What is that? The 8 o'clock show. I'll be there. I'll be at the Borgata next month.
Nice.
The link is going up yet. And then I got something cooking for DC, but that's next year. But it looks like, February, we got some nice shit popping off. The link will be up pretty soon, and I'll announce that. And if anything else comes out between now and then, go to DamianLemon.com. I'm trying to keep that updated, with local and shows, national or whatever. And shit. Until then, till next week, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
Hello. And the main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.